This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of What the Puck. Actually, no, it's not What the Puck. It's What the Lockout. They won't even give us pucks. We're still sitting in the dark. The dark, dreary October weather where it should be a great week. It should be one of the best weeks in the world because it should be the start of the hockey season. But it's not. We're hockeyless in a hockeyless land. There's nothing for us to talk about. But we're going to do it anyway. Skyping in, Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We got a little bit of a hockey fix this week. The ESPN2, they broadcasted a KHL game featuring star of the Capitals, Alex Ovechkin. I got to say, this was one of the worst games of hockey I've ever seen in my life. This does not have the pizzazz or the look in any way of an NHL game. And to be honest, I don't have that much experience watching Russian hockey at all. But I was expecting a little bit more than what they brought. What were your thoughts on the game?
Well, I think it was either Steve Levy or Barry Melrose, the two guys who were doing the commentating with their lack of energy and emotion sort of put into the game. To me, it sounded like this is off topic, but they were calling like an exhibition game or almost an all-star game. You know, I mean, they were saying the same things I was thinking. There's no hitting, no forecheck, there's nothing. It was offense. The defense was sort of there. No one was really even blocking shots. It was kind of boring, which I thought was funny. The only goal came from Ovechkin when he crashed the net, which is like the one physical scene that we saw during that whole game. There was a couple of hits, but not really. It was kind of boring. But I guess that's more of sort of the Russian game. It's more offensive oriented, maybe, or maybe a part of it's got these NHL players who are just trying not to get hurt before, you know, if the lockout ends and they can come back healthy. I don't really know which one it is. I haven't really watched many KHL games in the past. I watch a little bit on my Xbox just because, oh, this is kind of cool. They got a lot of advertisements on their jerseys.
I was sitting here watching the game, and I was into it. You know, I'm like, all right, cool. Ovi is going to be back on the ice. I get to see him. But these commentators, this isn't even a gripe with the KHL. These commentators either don't watch hockey in any way or they completely phone this in, because literally you were sitting there watching and it's these guys going, all right, we've got Alex Ovechkin. You guys might recognize that name. He's wearing number 32. Hey, guys, any idea why he's not wearing 8? Let's figure that out. He's wearing 32, and it looks like he's not on the ice right now. We've got some players with some crazy names. And 32's on the ice now. Ovechkin's on the ice. Anytime Ovi was anywhere to be seen within a camera shot, they were commenting about him. Chara was in this game, a Stanley Cup champion. They didn't even talk about Chara that much. This was the all Ovi show. This was ESPN's love for this guy. Because, I mean, honestly, they know why everyone's tuning into this. It's to see Ovi play. And they didn't shy away from that at all. This guy was the draw. He was the main star of it. And the only reason this game was on air is because Ovi was in it. And that's all they talked about. It was Ovi, 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 Ovi the entire game.
Well, let's not kid ourselves to an extent. The offense is what brings in fans. The offense is what, you know, gets TV ratings and TV money and that sort of thing. No one really cares about the defense unless you're, you know, a diehard fan and you really want to see your team. I mean, look at it. The guys who get the most money that play defense are offensive defensemen. Mike Green makes a ton of money, where you have a guy like a Carl Alsner who plays a defensive game doesn't make as much money. Now, part of that is to age, and Green's been in the league longer, and we'll see what Alsner gets after the next season, whenever that is, comes up. But the point still stands that a lot of the guys that make the most money, unless you're Nick Lidstrom, or, you know, are the guys who play offense or give more an offensive game. So, but yeah, they definitely last night were all about Ovechkin in terms of the way they were talking. They talked about Chara when he was out there, and it was kind of like, it wasn't hard to figure out which one was Chara. He's the tall guy. but, you know, it was a fun game to watch to some extent, I guess, because we got to watch hockey in general. But watching that game made me think, you know, I really want to go to a Hershey Bears game just to see hockey where the players actually care. And it's not to say that the players don't care. I think the players that are playing for the full season over in the KHL with those two teams, I think they do care and they want to win, because they're not just there to stay in shape before the NHL season starts, whenever that is. Those guys do care, and I won't take anything away from them. But the guys like Ovechkin, I don't want to say he didn't care, because I think he likes playing in Russia just because that's where he's from, but he doesn't care to the extent that he does when playing in the NHL.
That dude looked bored. He did
look bored.
Yeah, this was not a challenge for him in any way. I mean, a lot of people get on him in the NHL for the last couple seasons because his scoring wasn't up to what it was the first year or two he was in the league or whatever, but he seemed like he was phoning this in, that this was just kind of like a no-big-deal thing, and that he was just there getting a check. He did not – there was no passion in this guy's eyes at all. He celebrated when he got a goal, but he's sitting on the bench or anything like that. He did not care about this game.
Well, I mean, I think he cared a little bit because he liked playing in Russia, but it's not even just him. I think it's all the NHL guys. They're playing just to stay in shape. They don't have anything to play for. Yeah, maybe at the end of the season, if the lockout goes that long, that they'll be playing for whatever their version of the Stanley Cup is. But I don't think that they do care, I guess, really the way that they would in the NHL. There's not a Stanley Cup to play for. There's no playoffs really to play for, because I'm guessing that these players are expecting to come back over and play in the NHL at some point in the future, hopefully not next season. So, yeah, I mean, he kind of looked bored. Even Chara, to an extent, was just kind of going through the motions. That's why, to me, it looked like a preseason game. There's, you know, although in an NHL preseason game, at least there's some hitting because some of the young guys are trying to make the team. But, you know, it was almost like an all-star game without the goal scoring.
Right. The one thing I do want to say this, though, about a KHL game that they need to adopt in NHL, we need cheerleaders in those stands as much as possible. We got the Red Rockers. Let's have them on TV. Let's have them dancing behind their benches. We need more girls at the games wearing very tight clothing, yoga pants. I'm fine with yoga pants. Love yoga pants. But KHL, man, they got cheerleaders in the stands, dancing in the aisleways. We need more of that, especially at the phone booth and in the NHL as a whole.
I'll back that to some extent, but I'd be a little worried about having women, attractive women, in tight clothing behind the Capitals bench just because of the way some of these guys are rumored to party.
That's
you really want
we
them to be
have,
focused
yeah.
on
yeah.
the ice. So maybe we put like a, you know, just blinders for the players when they're sitting on the bench so they can't really see what's going on behind them.
That's true. We do have, you know, Mike Green, and we don't have Varley anymore. He was a guy that he wasn't a big fan of American girls, but we do have Mike Green and Brooks Like and those guys who do like the ladies of DC. So that's a good point. That's a good point.
Something to worry about.
All right. You brought up Hershey. I will say this, during the KHL game, they were talking about Hershey and they actually called it a mecca of hockey. I love going up to Hershey to see a game, and I agree it's a great place to see a game. I had no idea it was that well respected around the entire league, or even the ESPN, where like you need to go to Giant Center and see a game there. There's a lot of passion there. It's a great place to see a game. I mean, they were talking so highly of the AHL, even though we were watching a KHL game. It seemed like they would have been more excited to watch the Hershey Bear home opener than watching this Dynamo game.
Well, I think Hershey itself is a pretty big name around the AHL. So for them to be talking about it with as little that ESPN really cares about hockey, I wasn't that surprised that they would mention Hershey, just because they're a big name among the AHL. There's a lot of teams, and especially with the AHL, teams move around a lot, and affiliations move around a lot. So to have a team that's been there as long as they have, as many championships as they have, the history that they have, you know, there's one of those teams in the AHL that just – they're the team that always you're talking about. They're the team you always sort of know about, you hear. It's a well-respected minor league hockey market, which is why I love that the Capitals are affiliated with him, because I think it brings a little bit more esteem to the Capitals and helps Hershey. And I like it that they're only 2 hours away. You know, when they had the team in Portland, that kind of sucked because you're not going to go see any of the young guys. There was no, hey, what are we going to do? Let's go drive 2 hours to go see a Bears game. It's no, let's go drive up to Maine to see a minor league hockey game. No, thank you.
Yeah,
I don't even know how long that drive is.
I think it's a good like 10-12 hours. I've been up to Maine a couple of times, but yeah, Hershey, they're celebrating their 75th year this year, which it's a great organization up there. But again, like I didn't know. I had no idea that they were that well respected that even guys at ESPN would tell people to go there for a game. But that's great. And Hershey, they're opening up this weekend, right? Their home opener for the season.
Yeah, they got their first game of the season. They're actually playing in Syracuse, so unfortunately no one will be able to go up and see them in Hershey. They're playing at Syracuse Crunch, which is the AHL affiliate of the Tampa Bay Lightning, on Saturday. So, but their first home game is the 20th of October against Rochester, which is the AHL affiliate of the Buffalo Sabres. So that'll be, you know, I think the giveaway that night is like a magnet calendar schedule thing. So, like, it's kind of lame. You know, I guess I'm a little better for the first game. But anyways, you know, who doesn't like free stuff?
Yeah. The Hershey Bear promotions aren't the greatest. I will say that. I do love going up there and everything, but they're kind of lacking on their giveaways.
That's the AHL. It's the minor league. It's the minor league giveaways, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, the first game will be coming up this weekend, and then they have their first home game the 20th. So after that, we can actually go drive 2 hours to go see real hockey.
Right.
Which, you know, sometimes with the way the Metro is in D.C., it's actually less of a commute than to go see the Caps play.
That's a very good point. And, I think this week the home opener for the Reading Royals is Saturday. So that's definitely something to check out. Both of them are pretty much 2 hours away. So no matter what, if you want to see some hockey, it's a two-hour drive up north. So Reading Royals and Hershey Bears is the closest thing you can get to a hockey game around here, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a Capital who's also locked out, who didn't have the greatest day. Brooks Like. Doesn't look like the Brooks Like that everybody knows in D.C. was playing today.
No, he had a, what's it called, the horrible, no good, very bad day. Brooks Like's playing over in, what is it, Switzerland. He's playing for the Kloten Flyers, which I thought was interesting. Wearing number 42, which is, I guess he has the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. He had a very bad game. He got 16 penalty minutes, which included a misconduct for checking an opposing player. Now, see, the thing is, I was reading this from Russian Machine Never Breaks. They said that he checked the opposing player in the head, but then they said he actually checked the guy from behind and caused him to go headfirst into the boards. Either way, not a nice move.
No.
Like, what are you doing, man? Calm down. You're not that kind of a player. Don't be checking people from behind into the boards or checking them into the head. They didn't have a video of it, so I wasn't able to watch it myself, but I did see the own goal that he scored against his team, even though they got crushed anyways, apparently. It looked like some guy was sent into the front of the net, hit Like in the leg. He tried to sweep it away from the goal, and it went right in. And I think it was just one of those days where Brooksy was just – you know, you go home and you're just like, that sucked. And you move on to the next game and just hope it never happens again. But you know what? If he's going to have one of those games in his career, I'm glad it was for another team and not for the Caps.
Yeah. Well, what's that song, So You Had a Bad Day? That's pretty much just what what Brooks is listening to this entire time.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, hopefully leave all that crap over in Europe, Brooksy, and hopefully you'll be in D.C. in no time, being back to your normal self, I guess. This isn't really news, but I thought it was kind of funny. Joel Ward tweeted today the fact that he doesn't have any fall or winter clothes for Toronto, that they're all in D.C., and he just wrote hashtag lockout problems. So,
Yeah, you got big problems, buddy.
So lockout's affecting everybody. The big guys like Ovi, even down to the small guys, Joel Ward, who aren't playing out anywhere.
Ovechkin's bored, and Ward doesn't have any appropriate clothing. Woe is them.
Yeah. Our newest, one of our new Capitals that we got from Florida. How do you say his name? Volsky.
Oh, Wojtek Volsky.
Wojtek Volsky. He's the fourth Capital to actually go over to Europe and play in a European Hockey League. So we've got Ovi, Nuvi, Brooks Like, and this new guy who we haven't even seen in a Caps jersey yet, wearing somebody else's jersey before he even becomes a full time Capital. So he's the fourth one to kind of head over to Europe while everybody else. Hopefully, it's just sticking around waiting for something to happen. But hey, same old news every single week, man. We've got a lockout. Is there anything new that we can report? Are people talking at least? Like, what's the whole story here?
Well, after our show last week, which is, they say everybody seems to do this to us, but after we recorded last week, they announced that they were canceling the first 2 weeks of the NHL season. So, which is interesting because I believe, unless I am mistaken, that tomorrow night was supposed to be the first Capitals game of the season. Right. So tomorrow night, I should be watching Caps hockey, and I'm not. So you know what, NHL and Players Association, screw you both. You're taking the hockey away from us. But yeah, they canceled the first 2 weeks of the NHL season, those punks. So we have no hockey to watch for at least the first 2 weeks. If they were to come to an agreement within the next, I don't know, couple of hours or something, maybe a couple of days, that we would potentially have hockey starting at the end of October. I'm not sure which exact date, somewhere in the 20s, I'm sure. So there's still a chance we'll have hockey in October, but it's not looking good. They had two meetings earlier today. They had a morning meeting, which had Bettman and my favorite person on the planet, Mr. Bill Daly. He met with the Fair brothers, Donald and Steve Fair. And then in the afternoon, Steve Fair met with Matthew Schneider and some other players. They met with some of the NHL guys. I believe that they were just talking about sort of the secondary issues. They're still not willing to talk about the big issue with the money and everything. And I get it. You know, either way, this kind of works. Either you talk about the big issues and then focus on the little things and get those out of the way, or you get the little things out of the way and then talk about the big issues. But either way, they're going to have to talk about it at some point. Like, yeah. I guess maybe they want to get this little stuff out of the way, maybe get some goodwill going between each other. It's like, okay, I guess now we can compromise now that we're best friends again. But, you know, eventually you're going to have to talk about it. Quit screwing around and start talking about the things. Eventually you're going to have to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
It's sitting right there. We all see it. They all see it. Everybody in the media sees it. Just you got to talk about it eventually. You know, it's not like you can just, okay, well, we'll play hockey, but we won't talk about this thing. No, eventually it's going to have to be talked about. And they're going to have to do something. And we've had people coming out saying different things that are interesting. Bob McKenzie of TSN says that he believes that they're not going to have a season this year. He thinks just that it's not going to work, that both sides are too willing to sort of – this is not what he's saying. What I'm saying is stick their head in the sand and, you know, pretend nothing's happening. But they think that neither side's willing to move and that – both sides think the other one's going to cave first and that we're going to end up losing a whole other season because they're not willing to talk. So
you see, I followed somebody on TSN as well, and on Friday they said that the NHL and the Players Association have agreed that that agreement has to be made soon and that they each have to make what's the word I'm looking for?
Compromise.
There it is.
I think you're talking about Pierre LeBrun, who works for ESPN and TSN. I saw that too. He thinks both sides are expressing to each other that they have to compromise. But are they willing to compromise about the big thing, or is this just the little things? That's one of the interesting things that I want to know. Are they willing to compromise about everything, or just the little minor details that they may not think are as big of a problem that they've been talking about the past week or two?
You know, so
I want to know what they're talking about specifically. I want to know who's sort of caving to the other. Where are they meeting? Are they meeting in the middle? Is it you give us this, we'll give you that sort of a situation? I want to know more, and we're not getting that right now. You know, and that's unfortunate, but let's face facts. They don't have to tell us anything.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact that they're not telling us anything, because when things weren't going well, everyone was constantly hopping on Twitter or going to the media and saying they're saying this, they're saying that. So the fact that we haven't heard anything, it kind of makes me feel okay in the fact that if they're not slinging dirt at each other, that there might actually be some good work going on. So it's going to be very interesting to see what actually happens after, because today was when they had a few meetings. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple days.
Well, it's funny you should bring up the fact that the players and, you know, anybody else is sort of saying things to the media. Don Cherry came out today. Don Cherry, you know, Ovechkin's favorite Canadian news.
Crazy coat man.
He is crazy coat man. But yeah, Don Cherry came out and said that he thinks that the players should stop tweeting and talking to the media about how the owners and Bettman are, about how bad or how mean or whatever they are, which I thought was funny because apparently he tweeted this, saying they should stop tweeting. So I was like, okay, whatever. Is Don Cherry being Don Cherry? I guess. But either way, you know, I think to understand he makes a point. You know, I guess it's nice to know, especially with some of the players are coming out. Like Taylor Hall, I believe, came out recently and said the only people that are losing out here are the fans. Which is not entirely true, because the people who work in the arenas are also losing out. That's besides the point. The point is, yes, we are losing out. The players are doing a much better job in terms of sort of working with the fans and keeping the fans on their side. The owners, not so much. But the owners are also keeping awfully quiet, which is an interesting, I guess you could say, like, technique. That thing they're trying to do to keep, you know, keep themselves they're keeping everybody in the dark. The players are coming out and saying everything. The owners are coming out and saying nothing. It sort of makes you wonder, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. I guess it's harder to control, I don't know, 700 yeah. NHL players than 30 owners. But it's interesting that they keep coming out and saying things. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Like you said, they're meeting, so hopefully something good happens soon.
Hopefully something good happens, but I said this earlier, you know, when we first heard that there might be a lockout, I even said this, that I think the first game is going to be the Winter Classic, that they're going to fight up until January 1. But here's the thing, though. We don't have to go real in-depth with this, really, because we've talked about this already, but I still got to say this. The Winter Classic is a cash cow. Those owners are not that stupid to let that go by. I mean, they're going to be playing in Michigan in front of like 115,000 people, they're not going to let that go by just willy-nilly. Like, they're not – something is going to happen because those guys want to make money. And you want to talk about revenue and everything like that. You've got the biggest attraction for the NHL every year on New Year's Day. And so just not even just like the diehard fans, but the casual fans are just stopping by to see this. And to make it your first game of the year – I think there's a lot of money to be made there. I don't think these guys are going to be blind to that. So I do have hope that we will have hockey soon, but I think it's not going to be until January, because this Winter Classic, even though news broke, I think it was earlier this week or it might have been late last week, I really don't remember right now, that they didn't go out and check out the stadium in October, and they're saying, could this be the death of the Winter Classic, this, that, whatever. I don't think the owners are going to let that fly by. I really don't. There is just too much money to be made at that event. And with merchandising and everything. You make that the first game of your year and the biggest game of the year and welcome back hockey, this, that, whatever. I just don't see these guys being that stupid to just let this roll by.
I mean, from a marketing standpoint, yeah, I could see why you would use the Winter Classic as your first game. It'd be a huge first game to have with all the fans there. And it really is. The Winter Classic is sort of a way to draw in the non-casual hockey fan. They see this game, they go, this is actually kind of cool. It's outside. All these things are happening. Yeah, well, these guys are really fast.
Remember last year, they had their earliest game ever on NBC on Black Friday. They were trying to make Black Friday into a hockey holiday where they're saying, oh yeah, let your wives and everybody else go out and shop and go through the lines and you men sit on the couch and watch the Bruins versus the Red Wings. They even had a friggin' float in the Macy's Day Parade. So I can understand them not going after that again, even though Black Friday, there's not a lot of sports on, really. There's no hockey or anything, so I thought that was a big deal. But the Winter Classic is – there's just too much money right there.
Yeah, I would hate if it took that long just because it sucks that we don't have hockey right now. But I could understand from a marketing standpoint why that would be cool to sort of have it that first game. You really would draw in a lot – I mean, the Winter Classic in general I think draws in a lot of non-hockey fans to check this game out because it's something so different. But hockey really is a sport you need to see in person. So having the Winter Classic kind of draws people in, maybe you can then get them to start coming to games. If you have this big kind of cool outdoor game, and it'd certainly be a way to be like, hey, hockey's back, even though we screwed you guys over for a few months. Hey, we're back and we got this outdoor game. Yeah, I could see that would be kind of cool. And I saw the thing about the owners and the executives the NHL guys not going over to check out the stadium, whatever else. And I was like, really? Like, are you guys even not going to give us a chance or a prayer that we're going to have hockey? You know, make us think you're going to do something. You know, go out and go on your usual routine thinking NHL is going to, you know, they're going to have the season and everything. Why mess with the fans? Be like, well, if they're not going to agree with us, then we're not going to give you this game. You know, it's like, I disagree with the thing. I think they should have gone. I don't see what the big deal was. I think it was all marketing, not a marketing. It was a ploy to, you know, a stab at the players by like, well, if you guys aren't going to agree to what we want, then you're not even going to get your Winter Classic game. Because I think the players especially really like playing in the Winter Classic, especially the guys that, you know, the Canadians and Russians and, you know, some of the Americans that may be from further north where they will go out and play on a real pond during the winter and play some hockey. So to do that kind of thing was cool. You didn't get the players from more our neck of the woods. They didn't really play so much on lakes and ponds and rivers. And not so much. Those don't freeze quite as well to play hockey on them.
Right.
But it'll be kind of fun to see if they have that game the first.
All right. So, hopefully the lockout doesn't keep us, you know, hockeyless until the Winter Classic. But hopefully these talks, we hear something the next couple days. Is there anything else going on, really?
Dominic Hasha came out recently and said that he's going to give up in his attempt to come back to the NHL. I guess he's retiring, which I thought he already was. So, well, unfortunately, we're not going to get to see Dominic Hasek play, even though we probably wouldn't have gotten to see him play anyways. So, but other than that, yeah, pretty much it. Hopefully some more news comes out in the next week or so when we talk next week. But right now it's looking sort of like a stalemate. You know, they're talking about the little things. That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it, man. So if anybody wants to check out some lockout news or anything like that, I try to tweet as much as I can about hockey. You can follow me at Brando Cash on Twitter. And, of course, Coach Dan, he's always tweeting about you know, hockey or about the Redskins and how they cut Billy Cundiff and everything else. So where can people follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me at WTP Coach Dan, and you can always follow the show on facebook.com/WTP Podcast. But Brandon, what about all your other shows? Where can they check them out?
That's right. If you like What the Puck and you want to know more about it, go to facebook.com/BrandoCast. That's where you'll find out information about What the Puck and all the other shows that we do over on the at BrandoCast Network, including shows about wrestling and two shows about football and all other kinds of stuff. And we got plenty of stuff coming down the pipeline, always brand new stuff. So always good to go check it out and like it over there. If you're listening to this on Podbean or some other way, make sure you go over to iTunes and click subscribe on the What the Puck Show page, and every time there's a brand new episode, it gets downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes. You don't have to fuss with it. You don't have to do anything. It just downloads. You can put it on your phone, or you can get it downloaded straight to your iPhone with the iTunes podcast app, which is actually really cool. You should check it out. And make sure you leave us a review on iTunes, and that helps us kind of get the word out. So if anybody else is interested in hockey and the Caps and all that kind of good stuff, leave us a review. It helps our status kind of show up more in iTunes, because iTunes is a big, big C out there. And, of course, if you're listening to this on Tumblr, thank you so much for listening to it. And please reblog the show or like it. Leave us a comment, anything. And there's so many ways to communicate with us and let us know how we're doing. Just use any of those. Let us know what you think, and we'll be happy to hear about it. So thanks for listening to What the Puck. Hopefully we'll have better news next week about how the lockout is getting closer to ending, because I actually want to talk about hockey and not stupid lockout crap. So Dan, thanks for joining me tonight, and we'll talk next week.
Talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the at BrandoCast Network.